T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we are back. Yes, the vote is in. It wasn't close. You didn't have to stay up late to tally it. 43-6 to unionize Spot Coffee. 90 employees, so less than half of them voted. And that's what they voted for. They want to be a union shop. Will life as a union employee be better at Spot Coffee or not? I don't think it's going to be any better. In fact, if they're that unhappy at 43-6, if 43-6, I'm saying something must be systemic. That's not a close vote by any manner of means. And I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, obviously they'll try and get it contractual, get the burr out from under the saddle. Hey, a little Western talk. What do you think?
I like that.
You don't want to ride with a burr under your saddle.
No.
How, especially if it's Raymond Burr, because he's really like...
It's a big burr.
Big burr. Big burr, isn't he on
Sesame Street?
I thought so. Now, Mr. Beamer, the only Spot Coffee drinker among us.
Yes.
Do you have a Facebook for us?
I do. Nancy says, unions are in business to protect unions. So it just seems to me Spot Coffee workers will now be paying a portion of that union leader's salary without the benefits of said union.
All right. Here's a text with, 30930. I work for a union, and the only people who are protected are the lazy ones who abuse the system. The harder you work, the more work you get while everybody else is doing basically nothing. Now, what we said is that's one of my objections, is that they have to protect the weakest in the unit, not the brightest and the best. The brightest and the best get nothing extra, and the weaker ones get nothing less. That's the way it is. If you like that, to me it's a taste of socialism. Where I like individual achievement to be rewarded and with less than achievement to be canned, simple as that. You're either a member of the team or you're not. You either do it or you can't. That's all there is to it. Another please, Joseph F. Wanna
Joseph,
get personal.
Joseph with an F.
Oh, it is with an
yes,
F.
Yes, with an F.
With an F, okay.
Deb says, the first thing to look at is the age of these workers. I really don't think they know what they're getting themselves into or the lack of representation part-time employees will get by being members of a union.
I think they're going to be surprised because I assume this is one of their earlier jobs where they've not been in a union situation. What a surprise you're going to have. Let's go to Mike in Cheektowaga. Mike, you're on WBEN.
Good morning.
Hi, Mike.
No, hopefully other people are thinking about this, too. I would have loved to have seen what would happen if it was Hortons. Okay, Hortons that tried to unionize instead of the small spot.
That would be huge. You're absolutely right.
You know, and I've been part of a union. You know, I've seen the good and the bad. But I think in the end, and Sandy, I want to remind you, these laws and these benefits that the unions have attained, you know, the laws that they've had passed over the decades, they can easily be changed. Okay, please include that with your statement, that the laws that are on the book can easily be changed.
I was talking about the laws that would protect workers. Those are going to be changed. They're going forward, not backwards. In other words, if it's a safety issue and OSHA's involved and whatever, these are things that the unions used you had to have a union because there were no laws. Now the unions are there, but they also have the laws, so that many times, it depends on where you work and what the environment is, there would be nobody to stand up for you. He didn't want to hear that, I guess. Those laws aren't going to change. You know what the working conditions were in the early part of the history of this country? They were horrific. They were dangerous. They were dirty. Didn't earn much money.
Long hours?
Yeah, long hours, overtime when the company demanded it, sometimes overtime with no extra pay. I mean, they were horrendous. And I'll have to say that the unions are the ones that got the act together from the lawmakers. those laws are not going to be regressive. I can tell you that right now. They are going to go forward as well they should. But now with OSHA looking after everything, federal government there, inspectors for everything, I mean, it's not the same workplace as it used to be, that's for sure.
No, it's turned into a fundraiser for the Democratic Party, and yeah, a lot of people recognize that.
That's true, and it's brought up. I wonder why less than half of the people voted on this vote. There must be a large group of people that thought that it was okay the way it was. Otherwise, they would have voted no. Maybe if they thought there was something, they would have voted yes. Instead, they didn't vote at all.
Well, maybe they didn't vote because they felt like, look, I'm just here for a coffee break. Yeah. Essentially, as far as my career goes, yeah, I plan on moving on to another job, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and, you know, 90 employees divided by, what, four stores, there's not a lot of people. So you're going to see the same people day in and day out. You can't hide. And if you want a nice relationship, if you have a nice relationship with your fellow workers and with the managers that might be on premises, that's fine. You're not going to gain that much. You're not suddenly going to become rich because you're a union member. But things that used to pass aren't going to pass anymore. You got to know that. There'll be grievances, and a grievance can be filed by more than one person.
I'm just going to guess that places like Spot probably have a high turnover with employees.
Oh, I would guess so, yeah. Absolutely. So I'd like to hear from you, 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, *930. That's if you want to be on the talking machine. If you want to text, it's 30930. And I love text. I want to go on record. I love text because there it is in actual time saying, Sandy, you're fabulous. That's why I love text, you know. They just shower me with praise every single day.
It better.
I have to.
Do you know how many of them Joe and I put in there for you?
I know. Under different names, too. That's
right.
Always interesting.
It takes a lot being creative.
Don't you cross me. We have ways of tracking people.
Did
like you
say
down.
Croissant? Or cross buns?
You got to get your ear thing tuned up. We'll take a break and return on News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's go to line three. This would be Rayman. Rayman, you're on WBEN.
Sandy, how have you been?
Good. Good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on?
Well, sir, Tony briefly mentioned this, and it really struck me as part of the conversation. Traditionally, unions have been centered around seniority, and everything seems to work off of seniority of employees. But, I mean, in a situation like this where turnover is very high, I mean, you have students coming in, work a semester, and then they leave, isn't this kind of a useless situation? Do they understand that, you know, most of what, you know, they're bargaining for or their, you know, their bargaining power has to do with this, and they just kind of throw it away, you know?
Well, seniority is the backbone of unionism. You're right to point that out. And if the senior member of your team has been there like a year, it's moot. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. And that'll be the easy out for the owners on the contract. I don't see where they're going to be able to negotiate a strong enough contract to offset the fact that they're going to have to pay for dues and things like that.
Well, that's the thing. When the workers seeing their paycheck and they reflect upon, you know, all these dues being taken, and they look at what they're gaining, it's not going to be that.
Yeah, it's I'm sorry, we're losing the phone. Thank you, I-Man. Thank you very much. But his I-Man's point, we lost his phone. But I-Man, if you're listening, your point is well taken that seniority, which is one of the things you really fight for, but you usually fight for it because you think you're going to be there a long time. And the longer that you're there, the more protection you have. The more money you make, the more benefits you get. It could be any of those things or all of those things. You're not going to, you know, it's not going to be an issue unless for some reason you decide this is what I love. I'm going to be the best coffee person in the world. I'm going to recommend fabulous pastries for the customers. They're all going to look for me. And when I'm on vacation, they're going to be sad. So I intend to be here a long time. I won't make a lot of money, but I'll be here a long time, so I'll have some kind of record to stand up when it comes time to devote to raise time. But the bottom line is, if you don't, if that's not an issue, it's a big thing taken off the table that the employer has to worry about. It's a big plus for the employer. So Rayman is right. If you look at it and look at it honestly, you'll say, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Let's go to John in Toronto. John, you're on WBEN.
Hey, Sadie.
Hey, John. What do you got?
Well, just a previous caller mentioned that laws can be changed, and you said, well, safety laws can't be changed. But they can. And when administrations come in and they say they're going to cut regulations, sometimes it has to do with safety regulations. And I've got an example that I'm in. I buy and sell wooden pallets. I'm self-employed now, but I used to work for a pallet company. So I deal with truckers all the time. I've been doing it for 26 years. 26 years ago, the drivers would be unionized, and they wouldn't put up with any guff. Like if they were allowed to drive for 10 hours, they would drive for 10 hours. But that's not the case anymore. And what happens a lot, and I've seen it, is that a driver will come in and he's asked to do another delivery, which he's not supposed to do. But it's not like he has a choice. I've seen it in his eyes. He's like, I don't want to do this, but I got a mortgage. I want to get paid, and I don't want to lose my job. And they do it. And they drive with trailers that have tires that they shouldn't do, etc. And just quickly, too, is that Tracy Morgan was in a terrible accident a while ago.
Yes, he was in a limo, yes.
Yeah, and he got slammed into by a guy who was driving for Walmart. He didn't work for Walmart for reasons that was conducive to Walmart. But what he was doing is he was working at nights in Walmart, and he had, you would know this with what your dad did, he had a logbook, right, for Walmart.
Absolutely.
But you know what else he had? He was working for someone else with a separate logbook. That guy had been on the road for like 20 hours.
Oh.
And the pay, I think you'd agree with this, the pay for drivers right now without a union is not what it used to be. I mean, because like you said earlier, is that you get paid if you have something to offer, which is unique. And I have great respect for truck drivers, but a lot of people, sometimes it's not true that people think, oh, anybody can drive a truck. That's not true. But a lot of people think that. And I've seen drivers, it's almost comical. I used to watch drivers who were so professional, and they would get into the tightest corner in a yard, and they'd be bump, 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 bump. I watch guys now, I can't believe it. It's like he's been trying to park that trailer for like 25 minutes. He's ever going to get it.
Well, first of all, I didn't say the safety laws couldn't be changed. I said that they wouldn't be changed. I can't think of any, unless somebody wants to refresh my memory, any safety laws that were downgraded or erased. They usually upgraded, and so that's the way that is. And a lot of the things that they formed unions for in the first place are now covered by law, both federal and state. Hey, thank you, John. Always good to talk to you. That was a very good call. I appreciate it. Brings back memories of my father working very hard, and that logbook. Absolutely, positively. Make sure your logbook is filled out, and it's filled out properly, and you don't fake it. My father was an excellent driver, and he followed the rules. And we got his retirement and retired and got bored with retirement, so took a job part-time working on a school bus for children. He loved children. They loved him. He was a lot more affable than I am. He was a great guy. Wherever you'd go, people would come to him and start talking to him. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. You can see going to a place where their friends are yours or your workplace or something. We'd go to any place. We go to put gas in the car, and guys would walk up and start talking to him. I say, "Who is that?" He said, "I don't know." It's amazing. Do you have that happen to you?
Oh, my dad was like that. Wherever we went, he knew somebody, or he did work on whatever gas station.
Connection.
Yeah, so he would know everybody.
It's nice to have a connection. I have yearned in my whole life to have the personality my father has and to be able to do the things my father could do that I can't do.
I think that's where I got my sense of humor from my dad.
Yeah, I got mine from my father. He has a good sense of humor, not over the top, but good sense of humor. My mother did too, so I feel blessed with that. Mr. Beamer, Mr. Joseph, where does the F come in?
At the end.
Oh, Joseph Beamer F. Is that it?
Yeah, right there.
Your Beamer light? Your father is a Beamer full size?
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Okay, what do you got?
Robin says, depending on your supervisor, some work well with their employees. Sadly, some people are shorted hours, harassed, and treated poorly at those places. I personally go to my union for so much info and help, I'd be lost without it.
Now, the example that the caller from Toronto gave us is that sometimes they're asked to, their logbook is full, it's where it's supposed to be, and they're asked for another trip, take the another run, and they don't want to say no because they don't want to endanger their job. If it is a union shop, I think that at a time like that where your safety is involved, that's a key, where your safety is involved, you have to say no. Because the owner is not going to be able to grieve it. It's not possible. Now, maybe you won't be on his Christmas card list or her Christmas card list, but you're going to get home in one piece, and that's what's important. But you got to be willing to do that. Not everybody's willing to do that. Some are over-willing to do it. They can hardly wait to file some kind of a problem with the company, with the owner. And keep in mind, as I said, the union has to represent everybody. They have no choice. The worst and the best. And the worst get no less, and the best get no more. 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, star 930. Sandy, you can opt out of the portion of your union dues, talking about the political portion, and only pay for the bargaining side of the wages and benefits. That's a federal law, and the union has to represent you. I know they do have to represent you. Yeah, if it's a fair grievance, that's what it's there for. That's what the procedure is there. And if you stood before an arbitrator and said my logbook was full, and I did turn down that run because I would have violated the law by being on the road and the danger of me not coming home in one piece, I don't think you'd have a problem with winning that arbitration. Beamer, we got a minute. We got time for one more for you.
All right. Roseanne says, unions, coffee. Spot coffee seems like a fun job to get some money to go out on the weekends. I don't think these kids need unions. I'm sure they'll be quick to discover that.
Yeah, they'd be better off doing a really good job at Spot, getting through it and chalking it up as a workplace environment experience. Then you keep moving up the ladder to different things. I don't think many people go to Spot Coffee for their final job when they're in their 20s. So if you think of it like that, you might have been better off without it, but hey, we'll see how it goes. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Forty-3-6. That was the union vote for the Spot Coffee. Do they want unions? Do they not want unions? 43-6. So there's 90 employees. Less than half of them voted. But the ones that did vote, 43-6, said that they had some kind of burr up their saddle for that kind of a lopsided number. So I'm asking, will life as a union employee be better at Spot Coffee? And your experiences, I'm sure you've experienced on one side or the other in your career, unionism, and see what you think of it. What about the grievance process and whatever? The problem is, as I said, my main problem is that you can be an outstanding employee and you're still going to be in the same area as the schlub who's in the corner not doing their work because that's just the way it is. Unions have to protect the weakest. And the strongest get no benefit from it, really. All right, let's go to Medina. This is Daryl. Daryl, you're on WBEN.
Sandy, good morning.
Good morning, Daryl. What do you have in mind for us today?
Oh, boy. I got mixed emotions.
Okay, let's hear them.
Unions, most of my life.
Okay.
My work career, you might say there's a lot of companies that don't exist anymore.
Okay.
Because of unions. Well, part of it was because of unions, and part of it was because of management. The last employer I had, I think the deciding factor was the people that bought it, bought the company, was based out of Ohio. Well, they also bought up the cylinder plant in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Well, guess where they moved? They packed the whole shooting match in here in Medina up and moved it to
Wisconsin.
And you know the rest.
Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot. One company here that was listed decided that the family didn't need the problems, and they closed up. They just closed up. Mighty Good announced it would close all of its cafes, saying the retail operation caused the family ownership unexpected stress. And make no bones about it, there is usually stress when it's a union situation.
Very, 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 very much. And I can see, you know, and I'm just thinking about just a simple thing like a coffee shop. If he doesn't own the building, okay, right off the bat, he's got rent. You got to upkeep all your equipment and all that stuff.
Plus, you got to have a high volume of sales to keep it going.
Huge.
Yeah.
In order to make the wheels turn. Because when that squirrel stops turning, and this is probably what's going to happen if they do this, the squirrel's going to stop turning that little wheel. And the next thing, he's just going to say, you know what, I can't deal with it anymore. We're just going to close up shop.
Yeah, that's sad, but inevitable at times. Let's hope they work this one out. One thing we know for sure is costs are going to be increased. That has to happen. And so they're going to be less competitive. Coffee is very competitive anyway. And you got Tim Hortons on every corner. You got to compete with them. You got to compete with other smaller coffee shops. So the margins, I'm sure, are very tight and not room for error. Hey, thank you very much, Daryl. Good to talk to you. Pleasure. Mr. Beamer, can we have one from you from our Facebook page?
You sure can. We'll go with Mark, who says, customers enjoy $6 coffees. Employees enjoy reduced hours and less employees on staff. Seems like a win to me.
Wow. They've nailed it. You know, when the margins are really tight, everything counts. Because money has a way of just kind of floating away. Little things turn into big things when they're accumulated. And so when you get something as large as a union contract, first of all, it'll be very interesting to see. Yeah, they got the right now to unionize, which they're going to do. Next thing up will be the contract. This will not be a piece of cake contract unless it's just totally against the norm because you go from having your own operation. You're bound by labor laws, certainly, but no union thing hanging around your neck. All of a sudden you get that, and the margins shrink. All it takes is a couple of bad months maybe where sales aren't what they used to be. And pretty soon, the public is fickle. We like something, but if we see it failing, we tend to go somewhere else. You ever go to a store where all the shelves weren't full? And you say, oh, what is this? How come? Usually come here and every shelf is full all the time. Mr. Beamer, you must have seen that in retail. When the shelves start to dwindle, you got to make sure they look like they're full.
Yes, yeah. Even if you don't, like you said, have the stock, you have to make everything look full, look clean, yep. Because someone, you know, thinks something's not there or you're out of something. Believe it or not, most customers do not ask, oh, do you have more of this? If they don't see it,
it's gone.
The door.
They assume you don't have any more.
And when you cut your coverage, like they did at the place I worked, from four people to two people on the floor, you notice more and more of that happening.
Yep, that's exactly right. And that's what happens. I mean, look what happened to Sears. Sears was once the dominant retailer. And they had departments for everything. and they had people at every department with checkout people at every department. And then you go to Sears and you'd find out that one person is covering five departments. And last week they were selling hoses and now they're selling basketballs. And they didn't really know what they were selling. It was a kiss of death. What they were doing was pruning down and overburdening the ones that were there. And pretty soon you lost your confidence that if you went to Sears, you were going to find what you needed.
I would imagine the same for Kmart.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens in retail. If the customer smells chum in the water, you're liable to lose them.
And especially now with retail, you know, I've noticed this at a few places. They're losing business to online. You think what they would do is make you want to come in the store, right? Make you want to go, hey, I have a few questions about this. I don't really trust the reviews on Amazon because any idiot like me can write the review on Amazon. Maybe I go talk to someone who might know about it, works with this product. I went to a certain home improvement store and waited 35 minutes. You know what I ended up doing?
What?
Ordering that product on my phone while waiting for someone that store, and got it probably quicker than if someone would have actually come and helped me.
Yeah, and I hate it when you go in the store, and I know you hate this too, and you say, do you have this? And they say, well, you can order it online. Well, that's why I came to the store. I wanted to see how it felt. I wanted to see how it looked. That's why I'm here. I don't want to do it online.
It amazes me. We were told to get people to purchase things on the website, to help to walk them to a computer and help them purchase things, and then in the same breath wonder, why are we losing so much business?
Yeah, and losing employees eventually. Have them go down to the Unemployment Bureau. All right, we'll take a break and be back on News Radio 930. It's Union Day on BEN. I understand there was a conversation among the bosses here at Entercom. And they said, you know what? We've got every aspect of broadcasting covered in this complex. We got 7 radio stations. We got all the formats. We have all the personalities. But one thing we are missing, a high school blog, if I'm not mistaken. Well, yes, we are. Who could we get to do it? And then someone raised their hands. Well, of course, we would have Joe Beamer. Joe Beamer, congratulations. You're going to do a high school blog.
No. High school's Tony. I'm college.
Oh, college. All right. Yeah, Tony, I didn't mean him. He's not taking your blog away.
Sure. Thanks, Sandy.
You have a show. Okay. College.
Yeah, I proposed this idea to Alan Davis about doing a college football podcast.
He's the kingmaker, Alan Davis. Good. I'm glad you went to him.
So, you know, because everyone talks college football when it comes draft time, but no one in this area, it seems, really follows the players during college football. Well, I do that just as a hobby on its own, so why not make it into a podcast? And you know the first question he asked me, really the only question he asked me, it's not going to be all about Virginia Tech, is it?
Yeah, that's the first question I asked you, too.
And I said, unless Virginia Tech is playing a top 25 school or had some big news or is playing UB or Syracuse, you know, one of the local schools around here, then the podcast will not be about Virginia Tech.
So it'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
So when will it be available?
The first episode will be posted a week from today at noon. So next Wednesday after this show, it'll be posted on WGR's website. We'll break down the first week because there's 2 games this week, but that's called week 0. The first week, we'll break down the games. I'll give my top 5 locks, by the way, if you want to go to the casino. And we'll talk UB and recruiting. They have the new field house. What's next?
So we have it covered. Look, we got Tony with high school on GR on Saturday. Tony coaches Pee Wee, so you take that. And you're going to do college, and GR does the Bills.
Yeah.
So we've got it covered, everything.
Well, since we're going to throw out a plug, we are, high school football did start this past Monday. And we started with our Monsignor Martin preview last Saturday. This week, we're going to take a look at some of the smaller schools in Class D and C, kind of get everybody amped up for the upcoming season.
And you got a good field side view of what's going on there because you're a big proponent of high school sports.
Yeah, I really am. And I've been doing it going on 19 years now.
Okay,
think of
those,
time in there.
Those kids are now married with children of their own, Tony.
And they remind me when they come in studio because, you know, we had Joe Licata in last week. And, you know, I remember you calling my games when I played in high school. You know, I just put my head down.
Joey Licata, now that was a player.
Yeah, yeah, he's fun to watch.
Probably, yeah.
Great kid. And we did get out of him that this year, because Joe coaches at Bishop Tyman. His dad, who's the principal at Star Point, your district, is now the head basketball coach. And so Tyman and Star Point are going to play in basketball, father versus son.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Cool, maybe there'll be a rumble.
My money's on Gil.
Okay. Let's go to Bob in Wales. Bob, you're on WBEN. Hello, Bob. Bob was in Wales. Bob is not in Wales now. Let's go to Chris in Orchard Park. Chris, you're on WBEN.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Chris. Give me your thoughts on this union situation at the coffee shop.
Well, as far as the coffee shop's concerned, I'm not, you know, sure exactly why they want to start it. And whatnot, and this, just anytime I hear the word union, this story pops into my head. You know, at its inception, yes, they were absolutely necessary for workers' rights way back when. But I'll never forget this gentleman I met who worked at American Axle some years ago, and he would always boast and brag, you know, about how great his job was, and once they introduced piecework and quotas into their contract, once they hit that quota during their shift, whether that be in 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, you know, they would get paid for eight. So once their quota was met, they would just sit around for, you know, whatever was left of their 8 hour shift and still get paid for the eight. And I'd always ask them, I'd be like, well, why wouldn't you guys just work?
Keep working, yeah. And what would bother me is that if they rush to get the quota done, the work may not be as good as it would be if they did it properly and took the right amount of time for the task.
Exactly. And then now you got this company paying guy, you know, a factory full of workers to maybe hour and a half, could be 2 hours one day, 3 hours another day, for work that could be making that company more productive and profitable. And eventually what happened to American Axle? They ended up shutting their doors.
Yeah, I had a friend that lost the job when that thing happened. So, hey, good points. Excellent points, Chris. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's it. I would be worried if they hit their quota early, if they rushed to get the quota done, the quality of the work may not be sufficient, but then they got a couple hours to just kill. And I don't know about you, it's harder to kill time than it is to be productive. I think it is. If you're productive, you're moving along, and at the end of the whatever you're doing, you feel some sense of accomplishment. Yes.
I'd rather be doing something because it helps the time pass by.
It does.
Faster than sitting around and you're watching the clock. You know, let's say, like you said, killing time, you're waiting for whatever to come up. I don't want to be bored.
Yeah, and that's the point. I think that if you do superior work, you should get superior remuneration. The more people that can do, assuming what you do is valuable, okay? The more people that do what you do, the less money you're going to make. And the fewer people that can do what you do, the more money you're going to make. That's pretty simple. And that's when I hear people talking crazy. Like, just because I'm in the building, I should get more than somebody else who's in the building, too, who does a lot more than I do. Their ingenuity is appropriate at times. When they come up with suggestions to have a more profitable company, they get to work on time. Sometimes they're early. They're there when you need them. In an emergency, you can count on them. These are the kind of employees everybody's looking for, and they're so hard to find. And they should do better than the schlub in the corner who's hiding behind the union rep's skirts. That's just the way it works. Okay, that about wraps it up for Beach & Company. I think I'll run over to Spot Coffee and look at the big smiling faces as I order a croissant.
Can you grab us a cup, please?
Yes, I'll bring you each back a croissant and a cup from Spot Coffee. On News Radio 930, this is WBEN.
The Sandy Beach WBEN studio rings out in support of those who rang the Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center victory bell today in celebration of a victory, large or small.
Elvis has left the building.
Oh, I wish we never had to leave the beach.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.